Let me ask you now, please, to look inside the bulletin. You received one on the way in, and inside the bulletin, you're going to find a copy of the outline of the lesson this morning. Let me also ask you that if you have not yet, to please set your cell phone and other mobile devices either on vibrate or off. Let me also say to you that directly behind you is a nursery. You can enter that nursery from either door. After you have secured the outline of the lesson, turn with me then to the book of Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I wish that I had the words to preference this lesson. This sermon is nerve-centered preaching. This sermon is about you. This sermon is about your heart, your home, your children, and your eternal destiny. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. We'll ask everybody to remain seated. Verse 8, drop down to verse 8 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 6, verse 8 and 9. If you're there, say, I got it. Verse 8 and 9, follow it. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The ancient Jews took these two verses very literally. And as a result of these two verses, there was crafted and brought about a couple of things. The first thing that came as a result of these verses is what became known as phylacteries. Now, a phylactery was a small leather box. And on each of the four sides of that box, there were written texts from the Old Testament law. Written on these phylacteries was the passage in Deuteronomy 6 that we are about to study this morning. And written on these phylacteries was a passage from Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Now, these little leather boxes with the scriptures inscribed on the four sides then had a leather strap. These leather straps were tied in the back so that the phylactery hung down from the forehead. These phylacteries were also tied around the wrist and hang down from the hand. And in other words, wherever the ancient Jew went, he could see the law of God from the phylacteries here, or whatever he put his hand to, the word of God or the phylacteries were there. Now look carefully again, Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 8. You shall bind them, them is the command that Moses had just given them. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. This is what Moses was talking about. The Jews took it literally. Even after thousands of years later, Jesus himself made reference to phylacteries in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5. Now, the second thing that resulted from these two verses is what became known as the mezuzah. The mezuzah. Mezuzah literally is the Hebrew word for doorpost. Now, what is and what was a mezuzah? A mezuzah was a scroll on which texts from the old law were written. The same passages that were on the phylacteries were placed on the mezuzah. The mezuzah, then, the scroll was encased. And every Jew in the ancient world placed this mezuzah in a very specific place on his doorpost, his door jamb. In fact, Orthodox Jews today still place a mezuzah on their doorpost. And every time that an ancient Jew, or even an Orthodox Jew today, every time the ancient Jew would walk into his home, he would do one of two things. He would reach up and touch this mezuzah, or he would bend into it and kiss it. Look at verse number 9. Verse 9, you shall write them, that is, these commands we're about to study, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. Now, look at me and listen carefully as we carry ourselves into the lesson. These phylacteries that the Jew wore, and these mezuzahs that they hang on their doorposts, these two things were a constant, constant reminder to the Jew about God and about the commandments of God. Now, brethren, I want to suggest this to you this morning, that there is nothing greater that we can do in our lives, nothing, than for us to place on the entrance of our homes, figuratively, and to place on the entrance of our heart, figuratively, the commandments of God. There is nothing greater that you can do for your own selves as an individual, and there's certainly nothing better that you can do for your family than to throw out a constant reminder of God and of the commandments of God and what they have got to mean in our lives and in the lives of our family in our home. So here's what we're going to do. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, in verses 1 through 7, there are seven things that we need to place figuratively on the entrances of our home and on the entrances of our hearts. Verse number 1, obey God. Obey God. Look at verse 1. Moses said, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you. Why? That you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. Now look at what Moses says. Moses says to the children of Israel, God has commanded me to teach you. To teach you what? He lists two things. He says, God has commanded me to teach you the statutes. Do you see the word? Statutes. That word statutes is literally the engravings. God has commanded me to teach you the engravings. The engravings, Moses mentions, is having reference to the Ten Commandments. Now how do we know that? Because if we go back two chapters, in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 13, Moses mentions the Ten Commandments and he says that they were written, that is, they were engraved on two tablets of stone. So he mentions them in chapter 4 and verse 13. Then, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses enumerates on these Ten Commandments. He lists them. Then in chapter 6, he says, God has commanded me to teach these engravings, these Ten Commandments, to you. Now, let's give pause. What were the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments were the core elements from the law of Moses. The law of Moses had over 600 commandments. Those over 600 commandments were then placed into 10 commandments. Now, the first four of those Ten Commandments talked about Israel's obligation to God. Have no gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. I don't want no graven images and anything else. It's me and it's only me. Get used to it. The last six commandments dealt with Israel's responsibility and obligation to their fellow man. Do not commit murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, and etc. So Moses says, God has commanded me to teach you these engravings. Look at verse 1. The second thing that Moses says God has commanded me to teach you are the rules. That word there is literally the governing rules. Moses is saying to the children of Israel, God has commanded me to teach you the engravings, and God has commanded me to teach you the rules that are supposed to govern your lives. Now wait a minute. Why did God command Moses to teach them those rules that were to govern their lives? Why? Why does he say, look at verse 1, so that you may do them? Brethren, listen to me. Listen to me and understand this. The reason that God has laid down rules to govern our lives, and the reason it is our responsibility as God's people to teach these rules isn't just that we may know them, but it's that we will obey them. Obey God. Obey God. take that and nail that to the entrance of your house. You come through here, this is how we live. Now the picture that Moses draws here, this is beautiful. Here's the picture that Moses draws in verse 1. Moses says, look, I want you to build a hedge. Build a hedge here. And when you get that hedge built, you put yourself inside that hedge. Then get your family and put your family inside this hedge. Then you get the engravings and you get the rules of God that are going to govern your life and you put them inside that hedge. And then you stay inside that hedge. Obey God. Verse number 2. Respect God. That you may fear the Lord your God. You, your son, and your son's sons. Now listen to it. By keeping all His statutes and His commandments, which I have commanded you all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Now, brethren, look at verse 2 and notice something here. Moses says, these are His statutes. Moses says, these are His commandments. The one that we are to obey and the engravings, the rules that we are to obey are God's commandments. Those are the commandments that we are to follow. Now watch what. Obey God. And then secondly, respect God. Look at verse 2 again, the beginning. That you may fear the Lord your God. The word fear there doesn't mean to be afraid. The word fear there means reverence. It means respect. Brethren, we are to reverence and to respect God. Now listen to it carefully. Solomon was the most powerful man in all of his world. He was king. Solomon was the wisest man in all of the world, thanks to God. Solomon was the wealthiest man on the face of the earth, thanks to God. Solomon was the powerful, he was the wealthiest, and he was the wisest. This same Solomon set out in order to find out what the true meaning of life really is. His experiments are all recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes. After Solomon had tried everything to find the true meaning of life, Solomon comes to his conclusion at the end of the book in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and in verse 13, Solomon said, now therefore, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, reverence God, and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Brethren, the whole of our being, the whole of our existence is to obey God and to respect God. You need to nail that on the front door of your heart. You need to nail it on the front door of your home and say, this is the way it's going to be. Verse number 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in the land flowing with milk and honey. Now I want you to look carefully at the beginning of verse 3. Look carefully at that verse. It starts with the word, therefore. You see it? The word, therefore, is a bridge. The word, therefore, is a bridge. That word brings together what has just been said with what is about to be said. What has just been said is that Moses has just said, you obey God and you respect God. And if you obey God and respect God, the third thing Moses says in verse 3 is he says, trust God. Trust God. In another word, if we will obey God, verse 1, if we will then believe, or if we will then do, as he says in verse 1, that what we're going to do is trust him, and what we're going to do is obey him, then look what he says in verse 3. If you do this, it will be well with you. If you do this, you will multiply greatly. Now let me ask you something. Do you want it to go well with you? Do you want to multiply greatly? Do you want to have it all? Then listen, you do your part. You obey God. You respect God. And if you will obey God, and if you will respect God, if you will do your part, then God will do his part if you will trust him to do it. Moses says, obey him and reverence him and it'll go well with you. But you have to trust him that he's going to do what he says. You understand? This book is filled with promises to those who obey God and who reverence God. But all of these promises are meaningless if you don't trust the one who's made them. Verse 1, obey God. Verse 2, respect God. Verse 3, trust God. Do your part, trust God to do his part. Verse 4, believe God. Believe God. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Moses is saying, listen to me. There is only one God. And it is him that you must believe. Now, listen carefully. Moses here is getting the people ready for what is coming. What's coming? The book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses at the end of the 40 years of wilderness wandering. Moses is about to die. Joshua is going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But in those 40 years in the wilderness, the older generation that had come out of Egypt, every one of them died except Joshua and Caleb. So the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is rehearsing the old law to the new generation that's about to go in to the land of Canaan. Do you understand me? But when this new generation enters into Canaan, there is all kinds of false gods in Canaan. So Moses is saying, listen, what you're about to come against are all of these wannabes. But there is one God, and you believe Him and forget the rest of it. Are you listening? There are many, many things out that front door that want to be your God. There are many things out that front door that want the mind and the hearts of your home and the mind and the hearts of your children. They must be taught, and we must understand there is one God, and that one God is whom we will believe. Obey God. Respect God. Trust God. Believe God. Nail it on the door of your house. Nail it on the door of your heart. Verse 5, love God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Love God. Loving God with all of your mind means you love Him with your intelligence. Loving God with all of your soul means you love Him with the very essence of your life. God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Loving God with all of your strength is loving God with all of your diligence. So we are to love God with all of our intelligence, with the very essence of our being, and with all of our diligence. Everything that makes me, me, is to love God. Nail that on your heart. Verse 6. Are you listening? Moses says, ingest God. Look at verse 6. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. Brethren, listen to me. Take them in. You have got to take God in. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to respect God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to love God. I'm going to take God in. And I'm going to allow God to consume me. Now let me show you how that comes out here in this chapter. in this one chapter, Deuteronomy 6, the words you, Y-O-U, and yours, Y-O-U-R, those two words in this one chapter are found 67 times. In this one chapter, the word God and the word Lord combined are found 34 times. This whole chapter is you and God. This whole thing is yours and the Lord. This is your relationship with God. This is you and your God. This is you and your relationship with the Lord your God. All over this, this is about us consuming and ingesting God. And if we will take God in our homes and our hearts, we'll get a lot better than they are right now. Ingest God. Verse 7. Discuss God. Now watch how he does it. Verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk with them when they sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Moses said, talk about God. When should I talk about God? Talk about God when you get up. Talk about God when you're walking around during the day. Talk about God when you're having a seat wherever you're having a seat. Talk about God when you lay down at night. You say, but how in the world do I do that? Here is exactly how you do that. When you get yourself to where you believe God, when you get yourself to where you respect God, when you get yourself to where you trust God, when you get yourself to where you believe God, when you get yourself to where you love God, when you get yourself to where you ingest God, I'm telling you, every time you open your mouth, something about God is going to come rolling out of it. I am way too old to carry on like that. Hurts more to holler now than it used to. And you know what? Look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And you know what? That's exactly what the ancient Jew did. That's exactly what the ancient Jew did. Now, here's what you're thinking. You got to give me a few more minutes, okay? It's cold out there. Just relax. Just relax. Just relax. Listen. Here's what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I know what you're thinking. You're thinking now, preacher, who said that? Moses said that. Preacher, who's Moses talking to? Children of Israel. What is he talking about? He's talking about the old law. You say, well, preacher, I'm not under the old law. And it's been a long time since I was ever a Jew. So all of this has absolutely nothing to do with us. Now let me ask you something. When we leave the Old Testament, and when we cross over into the New Testament,
Let me ask you something. Is there anything in the New Testament about obeying God? I'm thinking there is.
Acts 5:29, Peter said, "We will obey God rather than man."
So I got to obey God even in the New Testament. Well, is there anything in the New Testament about respecting God? Acts 10, 34 and 35. God is no respecter of person, but God accepts every man from every nation who will respect Him and obey Him. Well, is there anything in the New Testament about trusting God? Jesus said in John 14, 1, "If you trust in God, trust in me." Now, most translations say, "If you believe in God, believe in me." But what Jesus used was the word trust. And the word was used in a command form. Jesus is commanding, just as you trust God, you trust me. Well, is there anything in the New Testament about believing God? Mark chapter 11 and verse 22 says, "Believe God." Well, is there anything in the New Testament about loving God? In Matthew 22, this is really interesting. In Matthew 22, Jesus took what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, and Jesus hauled it way over here in Matthew 22 and then added to it. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." Well, is there anything in the New Testament about ingesting God? I think there is. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul says that through the knowledge of God, he says, "Be filled with the fullness of God." Well, is there anything about talking about God, discussing God? Mark 16 and verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Listen to me. We need to take these things. We need to nail these things on the front of our eyes. Nail them on the front of your house. And if you wanted to do that literally, ain't nothing in the world wrong with it. But at least do it figuratively and put this on the entrance of your heart. This is it. Now, I'm going to do something you didn't think I was ever going to do. I'm going to bring this sermon to a close. You hurt my feelings when you laugh at me like that, you know that? And I really don't think that you care that you've hurt my feelings. Oh, that wasn't even my wife that said that either. We're closing with this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Let me ask you a question. What is this? This is a sponge. What is this? This is a bucket. And this bucket has got water in it. Okay? That bucket's got water in it. Now, you're welcome. I take the sponge. I put the sponge in here. That sponge is filled. That sponge is soaked. That sponge is saturated with water. If I squeeze this sponge, do you know what's going to come out? Do you know why water's going to come out? Because it's the only thing that's in it. It's the only thing that's in it.
What we need, are you listening? What we need are dads, moms, individuals, hearts, and homes that are filled, that are soaked, and that are saturated with God. Because when life squeezes you, and it will, when life squeezes you, the only thing that will come out is what God would have you to do, and the way that God would have you to react to that squeezing, because the only thing that's in us is God. You understand that? Now listen to me. Listen to me. There's only one of two things that can consume and saturate your life. Only one of two things. Number one is God, and number two is you. That's it. That's it. You know, people, the only, when they open their mouth, every time they open their mouth, it's about sports. And other people who open their mouth, the only thing they talk about is cars. And you say, well, they're consumed with sports and they're consumed with cars. No, they're not. They're consumed with self, and that is a trait of somebody who is consumed with self. You can only be consumed by one of two things. Either you are consumed by God or you are consumed by you. And you choose. So we're going home. And we're going to put a mezuzah on the entrance of the house. At least figuratively. And if you want to come in here, you're going to behave. I said, if you coming in here, you're going to behave. Now my wife's got rules at home. And anybody, I don't care who you are, friend, foe, anybody comes in and don't keep the rules, you know what? They're excused. Don't let that little pious face fool you. She get up in your grill. And I know. We love you, but you're going to behave. I'm off on something else now. Listen, remember the word behave? That's the word your mama used to tell you. Boy, you're going to behave. You're going to behave. I can't get off on that. You understand what I'm saying? Signs on the front door of your house. Signs on the front door of your house. And signs on the entrance of your heart. I am going to be consumed with God. Because when this is over, I want to wait. I want to wait. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to become a Christian. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You can't change that. This morning, if you're here, if you're away from God, this morning, if you're here, if your life is in disarray, you say, I don't know all the answers. Bless God, I don't even know all the questions, but I know who's got the answer. And he'll help you and me both to find them. But you got to come to him. You got to come to him. That's where all this starts. If you need to do that, God give you the courage to do it. Step out and come right now as together we stand and as we sing.